Nick Kyrgios, he's such a polarizing figure. We know that as well. But he's such an interesting contrast of form and behavior and standing when it comes to just how he's viewed from sports fans right across the globe. He turns up at this Australian Open. He hasn't won a match since the middle of last year. He hasn't played a competitive match since September. He's coming in off a week of COVID, the first half of which he felt absolutely horrible and bedridden. And he comes out, moves beautifully, all the tricks, all the top shelf stuff. And he wiped the floor with Liam Brody, 6'4", 6'4", 6'3". We know he's outrageously talented, which leads to the critics rounding on him on occasion when he doesn't live up to that talent. I mean, I think most people think he should be a top 10 player, maybe top 20 at worst. And that's consistently. So it got us thinking that he might end up fulfilling his talent. But what athletes, domestically, internationally, haven't, for whatever reason, might not be fault of their own, not quite lived up to the billing. That can,
right.
That can be unfair, can't it? Because there can be factors outside of their control, and what we expect might not be what they're capable of delivering. But Nick Kyrgios, I mean, he's Exhibit A at the moment. He is each and every time the Australian Open rolls around. That we know there's more there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, nice, delicate conversation started by you, Sam.
Why is it delicate?
Well, you're basically, you're labelling people as busts, are you not?
No, well, they might not always be, in their control. Like, I mean, there's some extent. There might be injury. There might be, life challenges that come, or it might just be simply that the player or the athlete has decided to go in another direction. Like a name we've got scribbled down here is Nathan Ablett, who chose
to step away from the game.
When we know that not just the bloodlines, but the talent was there for him to deliver, certainly for a longer period of time at a higher level, and he chose to go the other way.
Yeah, he's a good one. Aussie Ben Simmons is a perfect example at the moment, and one that I guess springs to mind the quickest because of how good he is, but how good he could be if he could just fix one or two elements of his game. So, I think for the most part there are reasons outside of the athlete's control, but there's the odd example of a player or an athlete who has things within their control and they're either unwilling or unable to fix them, like Ben at the moment, Ben Simmons, or Nathan Ablett, as you said, who just chose to go in a different direction, won a premiership and said, well, that'll do me.
Andrew Lovett was one who just obviously off the field couldn't quite put it together. Justin Kaczynski could have been a champion. Concussion was a big factor. There's so many that came through. One that jumped immediately to my mind was actually Matthew Elliott, the former cricketer, who averaged...
Oh, the left-hander, yeah. He used to wear the open-faced helmet, didn't he?
He did back in the day. Good memory from you. So averages, 47 in first-class cricket, just couldn't quite put it together. And I think in Steve Waugh's autobiography, he said that he was the perfect candidate for a sports psych in the 90s. He let injuries become bigger than what they were. He rode himself hard. The emotional roller coaster was enormous. And that's all part of being an elite sports person, isn't it?
There's probably a lot of there'd be hundreds of athletes from yesteryear, to use your term, that probably sit back and think, geez, I wish I would have had access to a sports psychologist, or it was the right thing to do to talk about your issues and not suppress them as an athlete back in the day, because they probably would have really excelled in that facet. So yeah, it's an interesting topic. It's always hard, and it's always very difficult when you've got the athletes who just don't get a run at it. When I was a young fella watching the footy, a player that I admired the most, being a Richmond fan, was Mark Coghlan, who burst onto the scene as a really tough midfielder, won a best and fairest early in his career, and then had countless injuries, groin issues. I think he fell over in the bath at home and tore his ACL or something like that. So, injuries is the obvious one, isn't it? That slows athletes down, men and women. And then the other aspect is the psychological point of aspect of the game, which is what I was talking about with Simmons, who's has never been able to get over his unwillingness or fragility when it comes to shooting jump shots.
Yep, Indeed. Will Pekowski at the moment is one. That's from Gav in Ferntree Gully. Yep. Again, just can't get a clean run at it. Cyril Rioli stepped away probably a bit early, but his talent was absolutely fulfilled.
Well, I mean, we've got a trio of tennis players, don't we? They're the obvious bunch. The trio of Australian tennis players who are all only sort of half-heartedly interested in the sport.
Yep.
We've heard Kyrgios just say that he just plays to pay the bills, haven't we? Like, he'd prefer to play basketball.
And Chris Yaron is one that's coming through loud and clear as well. Jesus.
I've got one. Can I throw one more at you, which is a little bit more significant and serious? Aaron Hernandez from the New England Patriots.
Tell it for those now, unfamiliar.
I honestly shouldn't laugh, but he burst onto the scene, played college NFL or college American football for Florida, got drafted to the Patriots, won a Super Bowl. Was a dominant tight end, signed a $40 million contract, and was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for one murder. And he was on trial for a double murder and then went to jail and actually committed suicide. So he certainly didn't live up to his potential and in the most serious manner possible.